It's time for three stories you should know. This week, for our semi-organized, medium-special Father's Day edition of the show, we've got two dads and one not a dad. My guests are Will Leach, New York Magazine contributing editor. Welcome, Will.
I am a dad.
And Olea Games' very own muckety muck, Karen Given. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks. I am not a dad.
Take it away, Karen.
Okay, so on Tuesday, this happened.
Is it going to be 13? It is. An emphatic victory for the USA. They win by 13 goals to nil.
I'm happy to say that the controversy over whether the U.S. should have scored those 13 goals against Thailand in their World Cup opener has died down. Goal differential counts in this tournament, and yes, the women should have scored. But we seem to still be talking about whether the women celebrated those 13 goals too much. And I'm really used to ignoring dudes on the internet who ask me such things like if the U.S. women's national team could beat a high school boys team, or if anyone actually cares about their games, because I still believe in facts, and facts are on my side. But in this case, I have seen men that I really admire and respect, dads, if you will, saying things like, if my child did that, I'd stop the game. So dads, are the dads wrong?
For the record, I perhaps there is a handbook to fatherhood that I missed. I do not think fatherhood gives us the power to just stop games, does it? Like, it's worth noting that like the Thailand players didn't seem to be so upset about it. I think this really felt like a way for if you already were skeptical of women's sports or the Women's World Cup, which by the way, you shouldn't. No men's team has ever been watched on American televisions more than the women's team has. Like that was a huge, huge deal that happened 4 years ago. And for me, the idea that the women's team needs to justify anything, if anything, I wish that Thailand actually took their women's sports more seriously.
Yes, the hot take I've been waiting for.
Yes, it's true. But it's not just Thailand, like across the board. I think that's something we can look at. But the idea that the women's team or anyone is supposed to feel bad for scoring, have these people never watched college football? For crying out loud. That's what the whole thing's about.
Or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Or anything. And I feel Will here. And by the way, any show with Will and I on is basically a public service announcement, kids, stop using caffeine, okay? These are two wildly energized middle-aged men. But I just feel like if the distraction of over-celebration drives you to the point where you are no longer watching the sport, I am very dubious about the fact that you care about the sport at all. And I just want to humble brag for a second. I was there, okay? And it was quite exciting, okay?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If every game had 13 goals, I'd be lining up, all right? It was pretty spicy. I mean, you just turned around to look at the restroom, never mind go to the restroom, and they scored 3 goals. It was an insane atmosphere. These are all home games, effectively, for the United States women's team over in France because there are just so many gaga American soccer fans following around this team.
And I bet no one in the stadium was like, that's no good. The women shouldn't do that.
All right, on to Will Leach. It says here you're a dad extraordinaire, but let's face it, we don't have a confirmation on that, so make of it what you will. Will, what do you have for us?
Okay, so obviously the NBA Finals. Congratulations to the Toronto Raptors. Way to go. Go Canada. Obviously, this was a crazy, crazy NBA Finals. The memory that I think I'm going to stick with is actually that moment where Mark Stevens, the minority owner of the Warriors, pushed Kyle Lowry for jumping into the seats to get a loose ball. I got to think about that. Obviously, much has been made about how Stevens was a minority owner of the team. But I actually find it more interesting to think about the idea of so much of sports now, and particularly the finances of sports, are actually based on these rich dudes that have these seats. I think it's perhaps not surprising that a fan that would pay that much money and sit in those seats, a player would come in and that fan would react, be like, what? This is my area. So I thought this was indicative of a larger issue in both sports and yes, America.
I think you've totally nailed it. Well, this is an issue of privilege, you know, in the wake of that shove heard around the world. I heard some NBA types saying things like, well, we can't move back the seats or put up some sort of barrier because this is what makes our game so special, that everyday ordinary people can sit this close to greatness. And it really should go without saying that spending that much money doesn't give you the right to abuse the players. But it also should go without saying that the fact that you feel like you've paid a bunch of money for your seat at the baseball game and you don't want to sit behind a net is no comfort to the parent whose kid gets beaned. I mean, I really think we have to think about who we're catering to.
I think the solution is in the rock and roll business. Now, a generation ago, when rock bands were selling big ticket prices for their front row seats, they started getting very disappointed that they would look out, Mick Jagger would look down from his snarl mid-concert and see some guy in a three-piece suit not paying attention. The solution was to sort of set aside a bunch of rows in front for super fans. And so they have pushed back, you know, the real fancy pants fans, and they have sort of created this little buffer, this moat, if you will, of cuckoo super fans.
You know what you're describing, it sounds like college basketball, right? College basketball, they put the students, the craziest students, right there on the court and then put the rich donors behind them.
They're getting away from that, Will. I mean, you know, with the Final Four, they have that kind of Potemkin village of like fans.
I do think for like local colleges,
yes.
I would say this. Basically, sports now have become all about exclusive experiences. It's not so much that the seats are so great. It's that they have the seats and you don't.
All right. Enough about you guys. On to me. This has been a terrible, terrible, horrible week for the catastrophic athlete leg injury. Kevin Durant goes down, ruptured Achilles tendon in the NBA Finals, gone for all of next year, presumably. Then, NBA Finals Game 6, Klay Thompson suffers a torn ACL in his knee, his future unknown. These injuries, they're threatening to reshape an entire sport. That's not even the worst leg injury of the week. That awful distinction goes to four-time Tour de France champion Christopher Froome. He crashed into a wall. He broke his femur. He broke his elbow. He busted up some ribs. Froome is one of the best bicyclists in the world. He is always a favorite at the Tour de France. He would have been a favorite to win this year. Now he's out. Who knows what he's going to be like when he comes back. I know you guys might not be the biggest European cycling fans, but this injury, like the Durant injury and Thompson, does, to me, underscore how fragile athletic careers really are. We don't pay attention to that terribly often, but disaster can be really around the corner. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Froome, especially disaster right around the corner. I mean, you're right. We pay more attention here to basketball, and Kevin Durant's injury was horrifying. And then you think, this guy hit a house at 36 miles per hour, and according to the team doctor, he's already actively engaged in discussing his rehabilitation. It's just incredible to me, sort of the resiliency that comes in cycling.
Yeah, that's such a brutal injury. I'm not actively engaged in being comfortable talking about it yet. We saw this with Kevin Durant this week. Like they had all the top sports scientists and all the doctors all coming together being like, okay, when can Kevin come back? How? What's our percentage of injury? What can we actually see coming in? You can't. Like the human body is very strange and very unconventional and very weird. And whether it's running into a house or turning on your leg wrong, careers can be over like that.
I mean, there's nothing funny about what happened to Durant, but there is something somewhat amusing about the idea that now you have a player possibly on the downside of his career with a ruptured Achilles. He really hits the sweet spot for the New York Knicks, does it not, Will?
He's never felt more like a Knick. He really hasn't.
All right, my guest for this week's Father's Day, semi-Father's Day, half-organized edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Will Leach, contributing editor to New York Magazine. Thanks, Will.
Shout out to William and Wynn. I'm your dad.
And only a game muckety muck, Karen Given. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Jason, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you. My kids will forget. Former major leaguer Dale Barra had a cocaine problem until one morning in 1992 when he got a call from his dad, Yogi.
Come up here. I want to talk to you. So I quickly put on my clothes, knowing full well that something about him was different.
That's just ahead on Only a Game. And remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game NPR.